Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win.
Through the city where the legends play, Chi-town vibes on a sunny day. Big red bus with the seats in line, talking Bulls all day, we stay on the grind. Rolling down the lane in the big red bus, see Red, Fred, and Doug bring the Bulls to discuss. From the Jordan days to the present fuss, it's gold in the convo, so ride with us.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I don't care what the weather looks like today, because lo and behold, the beloved Bulls are taking it to the NBA. I look to my right and look who it is, the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. How badly did you want to describe how big the bus is today? I know you used to describe the bus. We'd spend like 5 minutes and I kept yelling at you about it. It was 5 miles wide and it was, you know,
10 miles
like
long,
driving exactly over the city like a tank. But like, you know, we've now it's just a glorious monstrosity. I feel like the bus is getting pretty big. I feel like we may need a large bus description again after
like 12 million,
yeah,
50 million people. Exactly.
Yeah, I think you're right. They're jumping on the bus.
Is this not like the greatest thing? Like, even you and I think we're pretty positive on the future of the team. Like, I had predicted 46 wins, a fifth seed. And I remember a couple episodes where we were saying, is it really out of the realm of possibility this team could be a third seed or fourth seed? You know, we called out Atlanta and Detroit and all these teams that were allegedly far better than the beloved Bull. But lo and behold, look where we're at now. Undefeated, 5-0. I'm taking this baby right to Grant Park. Doug, you stay with me. We're going to pick up as many people as we can. You better get on board because I'm driving right through. I'm driving through red lights. We're getting right to Grant Park. I really believe there's something special here. And I think the capper will be when Kobe returns. But why don't we get into, before we get into any more discussions, there are countless reasons why the Bulls are awesome right now. Let's kind of go over our top five and I'll counter with each one. So why don't we start out with you? Like, what's your number one reason for why this team has become the Red Leviathan that I had once predicted?
You know, I guess this is why it's a top five. So it's hard for me to gauge them, but I am going to go with Ayo Dosunmu's amazing play is my number one reason. I think that may be a teeny bit of a controversial choice, but I want to say he's shooting like 75% from the field. Like, it's insane. And close to 50% from three. And he has hit so many huge shots, like in critical moments of games. And he's a two-way player, and we really need that. And he was not really giving you much of anything last year, like compared to some of the other reasons we'll get into. I'm sure that we probably have a high level of agreement on, like, some of those other things. You already saw them kind of happening last year at the tail end of last year, and we weren't sure if they were real, but like you saw the signs of them. And Ayo is just playing out of his mind at a level he's never played at before. For a guy, he's not like old, but you know, he's been in the league for a while. He's 25. Like, he's playing at a level we've never seen him play at or touch. And that to me is my number one.
That's a great call. That's a great call. And people forget, like, he was out. When did he go out last year? Did he miss the whole March run, I think, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I feel like he did. And he did not have a good year last year. You know, I mean, I he had like a grindy year last year, but he didn't shoot the ball well last year. You know, he was playing, I think, hurt for a while even before he went out. He missed about half the season. It was just a tough year. It was a tough year for him. And, you know, this year, I mean, it's just insane. It's insane how well he's playing.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, he was that, what game was it against Orlando? I think he hit the three threes in the fourth quarter, which were just every single one of those shots was absolutely huge. Yesterday he had another big three in the fourth quarter. There was a video that I just posted on my Twitter today that everybody could check out, which was a national account. I can't remember which one, but specifically highlighted his play in the game yesterday. And it's hard to describe how good it was. And I'm watching this and I'm like, man, this guy's got to be a favorite for sixth man of the year. I go over to the Rivers app, which is a betting app in Chicago, based in Chicago. He wasn't even in the top. He wasn't even listed. He wasn't even in the top 40. That's how much when Vegas is sleeping on the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls were a 5-point underdog yesterday. Luckily, I took the Bulls plus 5. When Vegas is still sleeping on them, then you know there's an issue. And the fact that Io Udoka is not being talked about as not just a candidate, but as the front runner for sixth man of the year, I don't know what's wrong with people. Like, we better wake up pretty soon because that's a great call. I don't think he did play in March. That's one player that I totally forgot that was not part of that great run at the end of the season. So that's another reason we could be potentially better than we were in March. But great call on Io. He didn't make my top three, but that's a fantastic call.
All right. So who's your top one that is yet to be mentioned?
So I didn't want to just center it on players, but I did want to highlight what I think the number one reason is. And it kind of touches on this idea. I see all these people, it's only one game, it's only two games, it's three games, four games, now it's up to five. And it doesn't take into consideration how good the Bulls were from the All-Star break on. And that stretch started and really turned when we were able to move Zach LaVine into three rock solid role players. I love Zach. You love Zach. We all value him, but I wouldn't trade Zach LaVine right now for Trey Jones alone, let alone the other two players we got in there, just based on the contract. I think you could even make an argument based on the players, not just the contract. So I got to start with that. Like the fact that we got Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter, who I've never really been a massive fan of, who's playing out of his mind to start the season. His defense yesterday, I've never been a Huerter guy, but like it was incredible. Some of his defense that he was one-on-one in that game and his lateral movement, blown away with him. And then obviously Zach Collins isn't here, but I think he's our best interior defender who's going to significantly help this team in terms of protecting the rim. That trade really kind of, in my opinion, turned this team into significantly better and it's in as a whole. Do you agree? Do you want any comments
on that? I don't think anyone's going to argue with that. That's like 100% true. And I think you brought up a great point about Kevin Huerter, because if we were to maybe just say prior to Kevin Huerter coming to the Bulls, what is he good at? What is he not good at? I would guess both of us would have said something like, you know, he's a three-point shooter who's kind of having a bad year and not shooting the three lately. And he's a really poor defender you got to work around. And I think if we were to talk about Kevin Huerter now, I think we would both be like, wow, he's surprisingly good defensively. Like he's like just much better than either of us would have thought. And, you know, like you just said like he's playing out of his mind. I don't know if he's playing out of his mind. What do you think Kevin Huerter's 3-point percentage is this year?
I would guess it's probably not great. It's probably 36, 37, 38, right in that range.
It's 33%.
Whoa.
So it's not
did
like,
I know that.
It's not like Kevin Huerter is like killing it with the three ball, but like we both agree he's playing well. And so like, this is a guy that, you know, without having watched him a ton and just listening to like the national reputation and whatever, I would have thought this is a 3-point shooter who's a terrible defender and isn't going to offer like a whole lot else. And he's also not shooting the three well. And really, after having watched Kevin Huerter, I'm like, this is an all-around shooting guard. He's a average to slightly above average defender. Like, he's not a great physical, athletic defender, but he's really smart positionally. He moves pretty well laterally, and you know he knows what he's doing. And then on offense, it's not actually that he's just this great shooter, but he's kind of got this all-around, you know, offensive game. Like he's not like great, but he's just a decent all around player and like kind of like okay at everything when I thought he was like a specialist. And that's just like a different mentality. Like, I don't know if he's like better or worse than I thought he was, but he's just totally different than I thought he was. Like he's an all around player. And I wouldn't say he's great at anything, but he's decent at everything. And there's like nothing he's really bad at. And that just definitely would not have been what I thought. Going in,
he's a way better passer than I anticipated. Way better. He had a couple passes yesterday in the game. I'm just like, wow, he has a certain level of playmaking ability that I just didn't think existed. You're absolutely right. Well said. Everything on it. Like you would think he's just a 3-point shooter. He's much more than that. And, man, I didn't even realize he was shooting that bad from three. He shot 54% overall. And he's just way more athletic than I expected. He had a block yesterday. I couldn't believe it. And then there was one play in the end of the game where I can't remember who he was on, matched up one-on-one, and his defense was so good. I was like shocked. I love how Billy just said, you know what? He's playing good. I'm going to finish with him. that's the other thing too, is Billy's really going with these guys that are playing well, you know, and every guy's finished differently. Like, you know, so it's really, I really love the flexibility he's shown. Like if Io's playing really good, he's going to finish. And even Giddy has been as good as Giddy's been playing. He's come in pretty late in some of these games because we've been getting such solid play from guys like Trey Jones and Io. So great, great stuff there. So that was my big thing, is that trade really elevated the overall, you know, win numbers for this team as a much better team, with that trade. And we didn't give Acme credit for it. We absolutely have to give it to him now. What's your next one?
My next one, and you know, this is a big pile of crow for me, but it's Nikola Vucevic. Like, I did not think this guy would do well at all in an up-tempo offense. Like, I thought he's a plotter. He's not going to play well in this, like, move around, you know, all this, like, get him in the post junk that we've had and just, like, have him. He used to just sit at the three-point line and just, like, wait for outlets, and then he didn't shoot the three that well, and he didn't move much. And he's just moving all over the place now. He's running up and down the floor now. And like all of his skills just look like 1,000 times better without him being so stationary. And that was not in my bingo card, that Vooch moving into like a high tempo move around offense is all of a sudden going to be like unleashed. And you know, this is like, so far, like, I don't know that he's going to keep this up. Like, I mean, I'd assume there's no way he's going to keep this up, to be honest. But this is like arguably his second best season in the NBA, if you push like this forward, like throughout a whole year. This would be probably his second best year in the NBA at 35. And you know, the way we're using him is totally different than how we used him. I mean, we started this at the tail end of last year, and I just said small sample size, you know, terrible opponents. But we're using him in a totally different way than we used him when we first traded for him and when Zach and DeMar were there. And I would have thought he would be way worse in this type of environment, but he's way better. He's way better. He's been great. I never thought he would thrive in this. You have to run around and move a lot. I didn't think he was quick enough. I didn't think he had the endurance to do it. But he has, and he's been great. So that one is a shocker to me. Like, he's still just an absolutely terrible defender. Like, he's horrible. There's like so many points he gives up, but like at 35, and we've known that's a weakness, like, who cares? Like, he's getting it back on the offensive end. So it kind of just like doesn't like matter, right? Like, is a guy I thought was just purely nothing role player, and he's giving you tremendous offense. He's chewing up a ton of minutes, and I can live with the defense, right? Now he's like any other guy who's a kind of like a one way type player. But he's really dominating on offense. And so that overcomes like these defensive weaknesses. And it's not like we've got a better defender to put back there anyway, until Zach Collins comes back. So, you know, I'm super impressed by what he's done this year. And I've called him out a lot, and I think it's just the way we're using him is so different. And I just did not expect he'd be able to do it, but he has been tremendous.
Well, for me, it just comes down to one thing. First of all, you were rightly critical. 2 years ago, he was a terrible basketball player. That 23-24 season, when he shot 29% from three on high volume, he wasn't good. When you're shooting that bad, the fact is his value is almost entirely tied to his ability to hit the three and stretch the floor. There are way too many defensive limitations to consistently support winning unless he's hitting the three. He's at 50%, Doug, this year. He's been awesome in that endeavor as a trailer three. He's not going to be able to keep up with this team in terms of really running the way we want to unless it's in that role. And he is absolutely, arguably the best center in the league in that role right now and hitting that trail three. He won the first game against Detroit 4-6 from three, 4-6 last night. The value that happens with that is such a net positive. You know, when he's not hitting it, it's like a crapshoot in every conceivable way. The other things he does well, you know, I think he's a really good pick setter. He's rock solid as a defensive rebounder. He's a good passer. But I don't think you can see those traits outweigh his issues, you know, with the rim presentation. But when you're hitting a three at this level, I mean, 50% from three in high volume is just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. On top of that, you know, he's a good teammate. He seems like he really sets a good example.
He's a super good guy.
That we can't,
he's a super yeah, he's good a great guy. Like I always felt bad like ripping on him because like he's so funny and self-aware and just seems like a nice dude. So like, but I want, can I disagree with you slightly on one thing you're saying? I don't think his value is just tied to hitting the three. I know you like you really hammer on that. He's not really shooting threes in that high of volume, like to be honest. I think this year, a really big difference, and maybe just something to watch. Watch him when he's not shooting threes now. Like he's just moving around so much more. It's like all basket cuts now. Like we're getting so many of these like basket cuts and then like bunnies. And part of that is having Giddy making these great passes. And Trey Jones, also, I don't want to take away from Trey Jones. Trey Jones, also great. We'll maybe get to him in a second. But like he's now getting all of these shots on basket cuts. And so he's getting like all these shots at the rim and a lot of his offense is really coming, you know, on these moves to the basket. And when he was just stationary at the 3-point line, I don't think he really added all that much value. Like almost all of his shots were wide open. Like he wasn't stretching the floor because no one guarded him. But now that he's moving around so much, like people are staying on him because if they don't stay on him and they're not paying attention, he's getting like all these bunnies at the basket too. And so he's creating way more defensive havoc. And it's not just that he's hitting the three. It's all these other things we're doing in this high motion, quick pass, everyone moving offense. To me, that's the biggest difference. Like the 3-point shooting, I don't think it's going to sustain at 50% only because that's insane for any player, right? Like no one ends the season at 50% except Kyle Korver. But like all this other stuff where he's getting all these points on movement and he's making his defender move a lot more. And like follow him around and all this other stuff. I think that's going to stay. And I think that's going to keep adding value. And so I think you're right. Like, and we both are happy with Vooch, but I think there's more than just hitting the three. I think the way they're using him is also just much better this year. And I just want to say like there's some extra stuff here than just shooting variants going on.
That's a good point. Very, very well said. I disagree with you in one aspect that I do. Last year, I did see a lot of open threes, and he hit it at a 40% rate. I don't know if you recall, like, for the first 2 months, he was probably around 48%.
Yeah, it was like 45, 46, and, like,
completely unsustainable. But also, the primary reason we were winning probably games, along with Zach LaVine playing out of his mind in those first 2 months. And now this year, I do feel like defenses, the scouting report is, hey, now he's hitting it at pretty consistently.
Yeah.
I saw yesterday centers really showing hard on his 3-point attempts. And they're not always pretty, but you know, 4.4 attempts for a center in 32 minutes is not bad.
No, it's great.
It's almost five.
It's
yeah,
great. And it's for a center, it's great. You agree. His shooting as a center is amazing. Like I'm not this year, it's amazing. At the tail end of last year and most of last year, it was really good. So I'm not taking it away from that. I'm just giving him even more credit. Like it's not just shooting. Like he's now doing a bunch of other things that are really helpful in offense other than
Doug,
shooting.
How about the part where when you see it now where he does the fake and a guy's coming out on him so hard on a 3-point shot. This year he's had two times where he's driven the lane after a fake three and dunked it. And I'm like, I can't recall him ever. I literally started laughing my ass off because there was nobody there. You know, he just drove it the lane and laid it in or dunked it. It's been crazy how good he's been. Great call. Absolutely deserves a ton of love. My counter, he wasn't in my top three, but the player I had in my top three is Josh Giddey. So, you know, we had this question before the season. Are we going to get pre-All-Star Josh Giddey or post-All-Star Josh Giddey? And after five games, that question's been answered. I mean, holy crap, this guy has been awesome. And he's doubled his career free throw attempts. That's it. Right there. And the story there that says everything you need to know about what this guy's doing right. He's not even hitting it at a great rate. I think he's, let me see what he's at. 70% at the free throw line. That's a one issue. He's a career 80% free throw shooter to shoot better there. If he's getting to the line some attempts per game, he's one of the league leaders and it shows just it's being reflected in how aggressive he is at attacking the rim. I am beyond impressed also with his improvements on the defensive end. Like as far as being like kind of anticipating stuff, like he was horrible last year to start the year on that side of the court. Rebounding even better than before, which was always a strength for him. And just these little quick steals. He's got some good hands. I am like blown away with how good Josh Giddey has been to start this year. Yesterday he played 38. The only issue he had was the turnover issue. Really, to me. He's shooting 3 at 45% rate, Doug. 45% on 4.4 attempts per game. The only issue was a turnover issue, and then Billy Donovan kind of challenged him. I saw in the postgame, he specifically mentioned this. Played like 38 minutes last night, 0 turnovers. At 23 years old, to me, if he goes like this for the rest, he's an all-star. Absolutely freaking an all-star this year. If you continue to play at this level where you're averaging, he's averaging 8.8 rebounds and 7.8 assists. 22.88. How many guys in the league are doing that? He's an all-star, period, if he keeps this up. Do you agree?
100%. There's no doubt. And because the Bulls are also winning, it's not even a question. Like he, if the Bulls finish with, like, say, upper 40s wins or more, I think Josh Giddey, and Josh Giddey continues this level of play, I think he has a chance to be on the All-NBA team, like, which is a higher than all-star. I'm gonna add, like, dial in on one thing you said there, and I'm going to even add to it. You said he doubled his free throw attempts per game. He's double the best free throw attempts per minute. Like you said, in his career, per minute, he's averaging double the best he's ever had per minute in a single season. So not just like his career averages or whatever, he's doubling his best per minute rate. So even when you adjust for minutes of any other season he's had, that's insane. That's insane. And we saw the start of that at the end of last year, but it's even better. Like it's crazy. And yeah, he has been phenomenal. I agree with everything else you said on defense. I've also been really impressed with how quickly he's rotated. You know, I have nothing else said. You said it all. I mean, he has been great. I'm going to say, if we go into the way back machine, when we first traded for Josh Giddey, and you wanted to throw yourself off the Sears Tower.
Hey, that was not true.
It was absolutely true. So, hold it. You hated Josh Giddey. Come on. You just own it. You hated it. You love him now. It's fine. We can all be wrong, and then we can all change our mind when things change, right? Like, it's fine. You can change your mind and say, like, now I like this. This worked out really well. And as the data changed, my opinion changed. That's fine. We should always give people grace for that. So I'm not trying to give you a hard time about this, believe it or not. Okay. So don't get defensive, but you were like really upset. You weren't the only one. A lot of people were really upset. And I said to you, I'm like, I don't think it's going to pan out that Josh will be a superstar, but like all the raw skills are there. And if he can learn to shoot, if he can learn to draw fouls, like he's an elite passer. He's a big guy. He's 22. Like, this is the type of flyer that could really work out. And, like, I would say, I think I said at the time something like, it probably won't, but I can see why we did it. Like, there is real upside here if things go right. Like, there's real upside here. And, you know, fast forward halfway through last season, we were both like, holy shit, this definitely did not work out right. You know, like, it was a disaster. We were both on the same page.
Up until February.
And then the trade happened, and Josh got put in a different role, and we're like, okay, maybe. And then even this summer, we were both still doubtful, right? Because it's like, well, what are we going to get out of him? We played such bad teams. They were all trying to lose. It was like a weird thing. Like, is that really going to sustain?
I mean, yeah, you thought $20 million.
And I said $25 million is the most I would pay him. And I think you're probably about the same. That is, you know, and the market said the same thing, right? It wasn't just us. This was the whole NBA market. If the whole league thought they were getting this Josh Giddey, someone would have worked out a sign and trade, right? Like something would have happened. But no one did, right? So this is, but Josh has proven that so far through five games, we'll see how it holds up, but through five games, not a fluke. Like this guy looks like a young star player, and that trade looks like an amazing one. And I argued to death for you, and I don't want to get into it, that like we weren't going to get a pick in Josh Giddey for the reason that this type of upside might exist. And OKC would be like, look, there's real upside here, would be their counter argument, all this other stuff. And I don't want to get into that, but it's like, that's all hit. Like the best case scenario of that has hit. It's all worked out. And it worked out. The best news for the Bulls is it worked out late enough that we got Josh on this amazing contract. Like I think you tweeted, like, this might be one of the greatest contracts ever signed. Yeah, that could be. This is like signing Zach LaVine for $20 million. Like, yeah, and then he was amazing, like on that deal. Josh Giddey looks like an amazing steal of a contract right now. And you know, this has really worked out almost in the best way possible for the Bulls, where he showed late enough that we didn't have to pay him for this level of performance. And it looks like we may get it for 4 years on an incredible steal.
I don't want to go into this again. We need to separate the trade at the time with how it turned out. I don't care if Max Christie makes 20 All-Star appearances and he turns into this great player. And, you know, the draft pick ends up being really good for the Dallas Mavericks and it all works out. The trade for Luka was dumb. They should have got at least another draft asset just based on where Josh was in his career when that trade was made. I think you could be right on both things. It still could work out, and it has absolutely worked out. And I think a lot of people would admit, yeah, looking back, this was a great move. It was a great move. Still at the time, you cannot forget.
Hard disagree.
Hard disagree for you, but I think there's other people who agree with me. And the fact is, it also worked out for Oklahoma City.
No, it's great.
Bruce
that's
was great. A
let's pass this
trade. Winning a
get
title.
Let's just end it.
Yeah, let's get off it. There's way too much to be jumping in on this one right now.
End it.
All right, let's go on.
My bad for even bringing it up. But all I really want to do is say, like, I appreciate the, it's interesting how it all worked out, where it was like, this is what they clearly envisioned. It definitely didn't happen. And it worked out perfectly that it happened late enough that we still got him on this cheap deal. Like, one of our big fears was he was going to be bad, but have a big stat score and we're going to have to pay him like $35 million. And then he was going to like not. And like, so none of that happened. It like, it worked the way it timed out for us ended up being perfect, which is just this really cool thing. God, my next one is tough because there's so many good things, but I think I have to go with Trey Jones. And we love this signing in the offseason, right? We both liked it. And I didn't think there was any way they were going to bring him back because they had this like super guard heavy roster. And then I thought there's no way we'll get him back for just $8 million. Like, someone else is going to pay Trey Jones more than $8 million. And we got Trey Jones. And man, I love the hell out of Trey Jones.
Yeah, but why did we get him? There was a move that was done that made it work.
Well, I mean,
you remember why? Lonzo Ball was moved. That was the reason. You moved Lonzo for a guy that can guard threes.
Oh, you mean like why did we bring him back? Was because we traded Lonzo. Well, because I mean we traded for Trey Jones. We traded for Trey Jones while Lonzo was here. Anyway, regardless, ignoring the Lonzo, I'll let you get to your whole Lonzo for a Quarrel thing, which I'm 100% sure is your next thing.
that's at the end, but go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But so
you know me so well.
so one night. Okay, I disagree with you, but I don't care enough to bring it up. We had such a heavy guard level roster. Like, I thought, even just with Kobe, Giddy, and Io, they're going to be like, yeah, we just don't really need to bring Trey Jones back. And then I thought some other team, when we signed him for $8 million, I'm like, wow, I can't believe Trey Jones went that cheap. Some other team is going to pay Trey Jones more than this because he's really solid defensively. He's like an amazing passer. Like, Trey Jones is like an elite backup point guard. And I think he's a legit, like, okay-ish starting point guard. You know, there's so many great point guards in the league because now you call guys like Luka and SGA point guards, even though I'd say they're not really point guards, but they're the primary ball handlers. But like, he's like a reasonable starter point guard. And I just like, there's like $8 million is just insane. And they even got a team option on the deal. So like, for some reason, it doesn't work out. Like, it's, you're not even committed long term. I'm like, this is a great contract. And Trey Jones, he has been such an engine of like just mayhem doing stuff. Like, we're playing this like frenetic up-tempo pace and Trey Jones and Giddy like running all the time. Like, I just feel like they're just wearing people out because we're basically playing with two insane high octane point guards like running all the time. And Giddy, when he runs, he kind of like, when I used to play basketball back in the day, he runs like me. Like, he's not like faster than everyone, but if you ever played 5-on-5 with me, I like never stop running. Like, as soon as we get the rebound, I just sprint down the court. Like, that's what I used to do. And I was like a marathon runner. Like, I'm not very athletic at all. But I had tremendous endurance. And then on defense, I was always the first one back, no matter what. No one ever got a fast break, uncontested shot when I was on the court. Like, I just sprinted back on defense every play. There's always someone there. And same on offense. And whoever guarded me just hated it because it was like, they could always like run faster than me. They could always get back, but they would just be like, just worn out after like 20 minutes. Cause I never stopped. Giddy is that kind of guy. But Trey Jones is like I'm fast too. And he's just up and down the court so fast. And we create so many opportunities with these two guys just constantly running. And the fact that they can both do it and they're both on the floor at the same time means they don't get worn out so much. Because it's like, yeah, Giddey sprints up the court one time. Next time is Trey Jones sprinting up the court. Like, you got two guys both pushing this pace insanely. And it's kind of like the Bulls can almost sort of take turns on who's like running up and down the court. But they always have someone sprinting up ahead. And the defense is just like, just ragged from it. And I, you know, so Trey Jones to me, like, that was an amazing signing. He's been great. Love me some Trey Jones.
Absolutely. He's a basketball player. He's a winning basketball player. I really calls into question to me, like San Antonio. Like, San Antonio is going to be good because they got lucky and got Wemby, who's, that's a whole nother topic. I mean, stuff you're seeing this guy do now is like,
it's insane. It's insane.
But how do you look at Trey Jones and not, you remember all the nonsense that they were freaking doing where they were starting, who was the point guard they had out there that was like, what are they doing? I can't remember who the guy they had starting at point guard was, but he wasn't a point guard and it was just incredibly dumb. How do you trade this guy at 26 years old to the Bulls when he's absolutely perfect for Wemby? I don't, anyhow, it's not my team. I don't care, but it does call me into question.
The Spurs are also 5-0, so, you know,
something's
worked out okay for them.
Yeah, because Wemby is like the best defensive player, interior defensive player I've ever seen, possibly, right now. I mean, anybody watching this guy, it's insane what this guy's. That said, Trey Jones, agree 100%. He's a winner. He makes all the right decisions. He's a low turnover guy, high assist guy. He's way better defensively than I expected. And he's shooting, 62% from three. That's not on the bingo card either.
Yeah, no. No, it is not.
Are you kidding me? Like, this guy's awesome. He's awesome. He's had one bad game. I think it was yesterday. I didn't think he played well against the Knicks. But outside of that, every other game, he's been a winner. And Billy clearly loves him. He's playing 29 minutes a game. And understood, because he's freaking awesome. I love Trey Jones. And that is one of the best signings there is. So, my next one is Patrick Williams. So Patrick Williams has embraced the role.
So Okoro is not in your top five?
Okoro is five.
All right. Let's start with Patrick Williams.
Let me do the Okoro first, and then you'll go to Patrick Williams, because I'm sure you'll have a lot to say about Patrick Williams. Let me just give the Okoro stuff here. Like,
you got to do the Okoro stuff for us, Fred. This is there's no way I could do it. You got to.
Yeah, I know.
You got to.
I mean, you know, I understand the concern about spacing. Everybody wants to talk about the spacing. I get it. It's part of the modern game. You can't overlook that. And it is an issue right now. Guarantee everyone, please calm down. It will get better. And he will be, by the end of the year, near his career numbers. But I think we all, especially Bulls fans, greatly diminish just how important it is to have at least one excellent perimeter lockdown defender in today's NBA. You can't overlook that. What happens when you finally have a guy who can take on the other team's best scorer, whether it's Banchero or whether it's Jalen Brunson, fight through every single screen and stay in front without help. That's what Isaac Okoro does when he's on the court. His defensive ability completely changes the tone of a game. He's physical at the point of attack. He's disciplined. He doesn't complain. He doesn't need shots. He's not shooting at all. And I'm sure you're going to say, well, that's a good thing. Whatever. I understand. He's not really shooting that well. But you look at the guys he's guarded this year. Cade Cunningham went 1-for-10 when Okoro was a primary defender on him. Then he went over to Paolo. He guards Paolo, which I don't like, where they're trying to have him guard up at a guy who's 250 and 6'10. Come on, dude. He's 6'5, 225. That said, he still did it. Then he goes on Zach LaVine. He goes on Jalen Brunson. The guy's defensive versatility is awesome. It's reflected in how the Bulls look when he's on the court. Their on-off numbers are really good. Guy's a great player defensively. Now, I agree. His offense has been a travesty so far. It will get better. Everybody needs to calm down. But the fact that they got this guy, an elite point-of-attack defender for Lonzo Ball, who never played a single game for the Bulls in 4 years after the All-Star break, is a massive win. And it got one of these guards off the roster that allowed us to re-sign Trey Jones. And now you got a guy who can actually guard threes and guard the opponent's best player. What say you?
I don't think that Trey Jones signing had anything to do with Lonzo, because I think the Bulls would have just not counted Lonzo to ever play. I think they just kept Lonzo in a contract to trade him and we'd see what happens and, you know, like whatever. So I don't think that mattered.
Wait, how can you say that?
I just told you why. Because I don't think they counted on Lonzo. I mean, did you listen? I said I don't think they would count on Lonzo to ever play. Like, you just couldn't pencil him in for any minutes.
He's playing.
Yeah, but I said count on. I didn't say like he might play. I just said I don't think you could count on him to play. Do you count on him to play? Do you think Lonzo is going to end the season with 80 games played? Like, maybe he will. Like, it's not impossible. I'm just saying, like, I don't think they counted on Lonzo, and so they could have signed Trey Jones anyway. But regardless of that, like, ignoring that, I don't think Okoro has played particularly well, but he adds something to your point that no one else has and that we need. And like, so, I mean, he doesn't make a lot of money. Like, I never understood why people were so upset about it. Like, it's like, he is a role player that fills a role that no one else on the team fills. Like, yeah, that makes sense to have a guy like that. Like, even if he sucks on offense, like, it makes sense to have a guy like that. And he fills that role. And he's been not good on offense. He's been good on defense. And, you know, we don't have anyone else that can be this big physical defender that we could count on, or so we thought. And so it was like, yeah, this makes total sense. Like, this is in the sense of like building out your roster. You needed a guy who could do this. You gave up nothing to get him. And he adds value to the team. Like, you needed someone to fill in this spot. And he's done that despite whatever he's shooting and whatever else. He's done that. Like, he's soaked up so many defensive possessions against good players that were going to be hard for us otherwise. And so I'm appreciative of Okoro. Like, I don't think he's been like amazing. Like, I think he has upside to actually play quite a bit better as the season goes on. But he's added value to the team. Like, not everyone. He's not, like I said, he's not a $30 million player. He's a below MLE guy. Like, that's a guy. He's paid eighth man money, and he's giving you really strong rotation player type performance in a spot that no one else on this team you thought was capable to do. And now I'm going to get back to what you mentioned, which is Patrick Williams, who suddenly is capable of doing all of these things that we didn't think he wasn't. Like, this was a guy who was like so ragged on. And you know what I had said about Patrick in the offseason is, I said, I think he has a good chance to have a rebound season. I think people are like way too down on him. He was hurt last year. And we saw signs that he was, you know, his foot never kind of recovered. He couldn't work out in the offseason. He entered the season completely out of shape. And he was just set up to fail. I said that even before last year started, that like he was going to have a bad year. And he did. And I think it was due all the things I mentioned. And then this year I said, like, I never have thought Patrick Williams had this really high upside. And I still don't. And I don't think he's going to play into a high upside player. But I said he can get back to being a 3-and-D player. And his athleticism is going to be better. He's going to come in out of shape. He looks visibly like leaner than he did last year. He clearly got out of shape last year because he couldn't work out and he couldn't exercise for 6 months. And as someone, I used this example before, like, I've had all these surgeries lately where I can't work out for like periods of like 6 months, 9 months. Once it was like over a year. And dude, the amount of like physicality, like physical stuff you lose from that is insane. Like, and so I'm like, yeah, Patrick Williams, like going through that myself, I'm like, Patrick Williams is not going to be the same physical person he was. And he hasn't been. And so this year, like, I don't want to say like Patrick Williams has come back and he's been like unbelievable, but like he is physical now and he is like fighting hard. His defense has been better. He's still a low volume 3-point shooter, but his 3-point percentage is back up to like, yeah, when I'm wide open and you leave me there, I'm going to hit the shot on you. You know, so he's been shooting good. And, you know, honest, this has been probably Patrick Williams' best year in the NBA through five games, despite, you know, not playing as many minutes. And now his expectations are all gone. You know, everyone hates him. So he's like playing with house money from a what people expect perspective. He started out like basically at the bottom end of the rotation. And he has fought his way back into being like one of the first guys off the bench through, you know, positive play. And, you know, that's been great to see. And I think Patrick Williams might play himself into being a not bad contract. Like, you know, it's like kind of like this guy's an albatross. Like he might play himself into being like, yeah, he's worth his $18 million. You know, like he's shooting the ball well. He's defending really well. And everything else is, you know, he looks more physical. Like his rebound numbers aren't really up, but he looks more physical going after rebounds. And he's boxing out better. Like he's not giving up all of these offensive rebounds where he's just not paying attention and his guy walks past him anymore. And so, you know, some things just don't show up in stats. And Patrick Williams is It's probably actually his best statistical season if you look at his per 36s. But it's also his best season ignoring all of the stats. Like, he just looks way better out there than he ever has.
No doubt. And, you know, I just wanted him to embrace this role. And I think already you hear there's this whole large contingent of Patrick Williams defenders who, you know, still believe that somewhere inside this guy's like a, you know, an alpha and should be a starter. It's just idiocy. Let him be this role off the bench, hit threes and guard people. I think his defense has been up and down. Actually, I'm frustrated with how he navigates screens. I don't think he's great at it. He's never has been. I thought he was a little bit better in the last 2 years. And then this year, I still am like frustrated with some of the problems that he has in terms of navigating screens. That said, his activity, his aggressiveness, his desire to rebound on the defensive end, he still only has one offensive rebound for the whole year, which is tied for worst on a team. But on the defensive end, he's been a lot better in terms of being aggressive. And I saw an improvement in one key area last year out of all that mess was I thought he was a way better passer last year. He just improved there. And I'm seeing it again this year. So he's progressed as a facilitator. Just to me, the biggest issue with P. Will is he's got to stop dribbling. Every time he dribbles,
yeah,
there's nothing good
there. Nothing good happens when he dribbles. Shoot.
Nothing. Even yesterday, you saw this on the fast break. You saw him. That charge he had and that at the end of the game, you saw that coming a mile away. It's like, just give up the ball. Please don't. You know, and that's the biggest thing with him to me. Just be a catch and shoot three guy and defend. That's it.
Can I make one counterpoint on that a little bit?
Yeah.
If you look at the Bulls offense as a whole this year, everyone out there is expected to like dribble drive when they get the ball. Like they're moving the ball really rapidly. And then they're like, everyone is in like attacking the basket the second they get it. Like, so it's like you get the pass, you immediately drive and attack the basket. And then like, and they're causing like the offense as a whole is like causing mayhem by doing this. And it's like, you have all these guys, none of whom are like great dribble penetration guys, but they all keep doing it and they keep all ramping up the speed. And then by the time the fifth guy is like making a drive, who's maybe not a good driver, it's like the defense has just moved around too much and they can't do it anymore. And you get an open look. And so part of that, even though I completely agree, nothing good happens, I think part of that is the design of the offense. Like that's his responsibility in the offense to do that. The other thing I can't stand is there's been like three times where he's been like wide open from three. And then he like just tosses the ball to Okoro. Like, I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like, why are you passing it to Okoro for three? Shoot the three. You're a better shooter than Okoro. Like, know what you're good at. You're wide open. You have a wide open three. Shoot the ball. And I'm exactly. just like, what are you doing?
Contested threes.
Yeah. What are you doing here? This is your role to shoot the open three. Like, why are you like, and a couple of times, like Okoro was like mildly covered in the corner. And it's like, all right, I get that the corner is a better 3-point shot, but like you wide open on the wing is better than Okoro with a contested three. One of those passes, Okoro did like this tightrope baseline drive and it ended like in an insane modest dunk. So like it worked out. Yes. Okay. I was still like, what are you doing there? Like, why did you just not shoot that ball? Like, so there's still like, Pat's not a perfect player, but he is. And the defense to me, I agree with you on the screen navigation. The defensive improvement to me is mainly on the interior and fighting guys and being more physical. So he's still got some things he can improve on, but it's just miles better than what he was giving us last year. So we should give him his props. And, you know, it's back to you now. And I think I just mentioned the last guy that maybe we really, really need to talk about, which somehow we made it through, I don't know, like how many minutes, like 45, and we had not said his name yet.
How great is this though, Doug? Let's just stop before we get to it. The fact that we've gone on a podcast for over 40 minutes and we haven't even got to the guy.
Say it. Say it.
Modest Mazzellas.
Dunking Modest machine. Mazzellas. Oh my God.
I thought you were going to say Dale and Terry for a second.
It's so great. I love it. It's like the highlight reel's insane. Sorry. Go for it.
Well, and even the thing is too, I think he's been kind of up and down, to be honest with you. Like the Orlando game, he was awful in that game. He got in foul trouble and stuff like that. But then you have the other game. What was the other game where he had like 30 the other night? Which one was this one? I get them all confused here now. Oh, against the Kings. Oh my God. Just the talent that you see with this guy is just so overwhelming. And and he's still making these mistakes that any 21 year old will make. You know, I've seen a couple backdoors he's given up. They're primarily on the defensive end. And I know Billy gets frustrated with them. But I don't know how you can watch Modest Mazzellas and not be excited, because he just seems like there's just so much talent there as a guy this big, that tall. How about the step through layup that he had, I don't recall what game that was, where it was like he basically went from the free throw line to the rim in one step, and it was just like, man, this guy is special. His finishing, as an aside, we didn't touch on this enough. Josh Giddey's finishing has been elite this year.
Oh, yeah.
Also with Modest. I cannot believe that these two guys, Josh at 23, Modest at 21, have improved to this level in terms of finishing at the rim. It's awesome to see when you have that much size and skill. And I just can't say enough. And he's the guy. He's the guy that in 2-3 years you could say, all right, now we got him. You know, don't you agree?
Yeah, and I agree with you. He's not been that great, which is probably why we've not mentioned him so much. He's really had like two really good games. But what he has shown is everything is there. Like, it's all there. Like, it's all not refined yet. He's still too young. He's still doing whatever. But, man, it is all there. And his defense is going to be great. Like, when he gets there. And because he makes so many dumb fouls where he just gets his arms a little forward instead of going straight up. And, like, he fouled out of that Orlando game in, like 10 minutes or something ridiculous. I think it was 12 minutes. But, and all the fouls are the same. Like, he's just like, he's at the rim, he's defending a shot, and he just, instead of going straight up, he gets a little bit too into guys and leans forward. But like, it's like all of the instincts, you're like, man, when he just makes a couple tweaks here, instead of that being a defensive foul, it's a block or a stop or like a heavy contest. Like he, like all the things are there. And the shot, it's like, you see he has not shot well in like all the games. But like you see the 3-point shot has like great, great potential. And then when he cuts, oh man, oh my God. Like you just like there's so much potential for him as just like a finisher. It is crazy. Like he has probably this year like 5 dunks better than like any dunk the Bulls had in the last 5 years. Like we're like 5 games in. He's like averaging 1 dunk
even
a game.
Even with Zach
that
Levine,
is like better than anything we've had. Like that crazy reverse dunk where he went baseline and is just like, yep, all right, no problem. Like, oh my God. And that, like some of the cut dunks, like yesterday he had like an alley-oop from Giddey, and he had like another like it's a cut dunk. Like it's just insane. So even if the play is not great, like, you know, we were fighting about charges and how much emotionality they bring to the team and whatever. How much emotionality is there every time this dude just dunks all over someone? Like it's just like, I have absolutely humiliated you by dunking on you. Like, we're getting like 2 of those a game, like just crushing people. I can't remember the last time the Bulls had a guy like this. Like, even like Tyrus Thomas is like was maybe the closest guy I can think of, but Modest is so much more athletic than Taj. Like, Taj dunked, but like Modest gets like another 6 inches higher. Like, I think like literally you might have to go back to Michael Jordan to get a guy who dunked like this.
Derek had some insane dunks.
Derek had some, but legendary. Nothing like Modest, because he just wasn't as high. Like, Modest is like not obviously as athletic as Derek Rose, but then he's got like 6 inches on him, you know, like, and longer arms. So it's like I think he might be like close to the top of the backboard at like full height on a dunk with his like reach and his height and in his hops. Like, I mean, like it's crazy some of the stuff he can do. So, I mean, I think it is going back to like Jordan and Pippen to find a guy who dunked like Modest Buzelis, like from like, and that's
quite a statement.
And I'm not saying he's clearly no Jordan or Pippen. Like, I'm not saying he's good, but like as a dunker,
I think
dunker,
Rose is up there. I gotta say, but I will also say where I'm excited about him is on the defensive end in terms of like rim protection.
Yeah,
like
long term,
he's had a couple blocks. He's had a few blocks where I'm like, I can't even believe he blocked that shot where it looks like he's not even jumping. He just, you know, just if he can just learn how to stay, I think he put it well, stay down on some of this stuff. And then he just gets up so quick. His athletic gifts are just incredible. And the ball handling, it's all there. You're right. That's the best way to put it. It's like all there. And he's hitting free throws at an 82% rate. Like, man, it is so exciting to see this team. Doug, we've been doing this for a long time. I can't recall many shows that we've had where we've been this excited about a team, you know. And I will finally say this too, to bring this up, because people are forgetting about this. Like, where is this team going to go? Where is it, realistically going to go? In March, I watched almost every game over in March. And we can all debate who's the best player on a team and who's, who's got the best future, and it's all fine and dandy. I'm telling you who the league thought was the best player on the Bulls based on what I saw in March. And that was Coby White. So he was doubled by in end of games by really good coaches, specifically from Miami Heat with Spoelstra, in key games in March that I watched over and over again last 20 seconds. And Giddey hit the big shot that won the game in one of those. But the guy who was getting doubled was Coby White. So I think there's kind of a movement now, like, let's trade Coby. I don't want to trade Coby. I want to see how the team looks when he gets implemented into this. And if he continues to play at the level he was at as the Eastern Conference Player of the Month in March, then I think we're going to have an added gravity that the team doesn't necessarily have right now. And we can debate who should go to the bench. I think it should be Trey Jones, just because I think he's going to be awesome coming off the bench to spot Giddey and just have Coby, Giddey, keep doing what you're doing with the offensive strength of Okoro there. And then, at the 4 and 5, Monson and Zubach. And I think this team has, after looking at it, there's nobody in the East I fear. Like, isn't it possible that you could see the Bulls coming out of the East this year?
I'm going to hate saying this, but you might be right. I'm full meatball now. Like, I don't know. Like, whip out the Moses memes, baby. Like, let's go. I don't believe in this team having like crazy upside, and they're sort of in this weird boat where it's like the really hard thing to take this group to a championship group is like, if you don't have that superstar on the team now, it's going to be really hard. Like, you have all these good players and you have amazing vibes and all this other stuff. And there's been some stuff like teams have just shot unreasonably bad against us from three, which is not going to keep up. But like, regardless, it's like, enjoy the hell out of it. Like you mentioned, like, what was the last team you felt so good about? And to me, the last time I felt so good about a team, it's like, this might match 14-15. The 04-05 Bulls is one of my favorite teams.
Not that far back.
No, I shouldn't say it. Like the Derrick Rose teams were better, right? Clearly better. And I guess I was way more excited about those teams too. But this has an 04-05 Bulls feel to it. Yes. Like, where it's like you've got all these guys who are excellent in their own lane. The team vibes are like off the chart. You don't have like anyone who's an obvious star player is going to become a star player, but you have all this like young talent, right? Like, the other thing is like all these guys are young, right? And you don't have all these aging pieces, and you just kind of look at this like, who knows what could happen? Like, who knows what could happen? And you know that, if you remember, like, so they lost at that season. I think it was like the first 9 or maybe. They're 1-13 to start, or maybe they even lost the first 13. I forget now in my way back machine, but they started terribly, right? And then they went on this run and they played really great. And then, like, you know, for the beginning of it, you kept just thinking like, well, the wheels are going to fall off. You know, it's like, as they're adding wins, but they start off so bad, you're like, well, they're just getting lucky. They're just getting lucky. They're just getting lucky. They're just getting lucky. And then they ended the season with 47 wins. And, you know, we have that same thing here, except the just getting lucky phase was last year. Like, that was the tail end of last year. And I'm it's time to believe. I'm going full Fred Pfeiffer. It's time to believe.
See Red Dog.
Like, let's go. And it is, right? Like, dude, like, just like, I see people whining now and I'm like, I get it. Like, I don't know if this team can be a championship team, but who cares, dude? If you can't enjoy this, why are you even a fan?
Yes.
Like, if you can't enjoy this, why are you even a fan? Like, they are rolling. Like, everything is coming up Bulls, and I'm here for it. Like, it's,
Doug,
you know?
The Pacers got to the Eastern Conference, won the Eastern Conference last year. This is the same team, essentially, without, you know, Halliburton, right? If Coby takes, or if Josh Giddey or Coby are two candidates to take the Halliburton jump, this team is as deep, every bit as deep.
How is Josh Giddey not already there? Like, well, like, really? Like, how is he not even already there? Like, he's basically averaging a triple-double right now. Like, he's like 22, 9, and 8. I mean, like, what do you want from him?
I wouldn't trade Halliburton for Giddey right now.
No! Hell no!
If they call, they'd say, hard pass.
He's with his Achilles. I have no idea what Tyrese Halliburton's ever going to do in his career. And Josh Giddey's on an amazing contract. No, like, I mean, like, look, again, I don't know where this team is going, but, like, we are both I think way higher. Like, I think we were like, I was before the injuries, I was like low 40s on the Bulls for wins. I think you were slightly higher than me, closer to like mid 40s. And like, we were like the highest people I know. You're the highest person for sure. And I was, but I was like close to being like the second highest person. And that's still, you know, like, and now you look at it now when they had the injuries, I'm like, well, I was like, with these injuries, they're going to get killed early.
Yes.
And
agreed.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I mean, I can't, like, I can't believe what they're doing. We haven't even mentioned Zach Collins coming back. Like, you mentioned Kobe coming back. Like, Zach Collins is absolutely perfect for the way this team plays. Exactly. Like, I mean, like, it's insane.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
And yeah. When this,
yeah, when goodbye Jalen and
yeah.
Go Zach Collins.
And one thing I think with this team, one last point, I'm sorry, I've been rambling for a long time. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, this so is
one,
great.
One last thing I want to say.
See, Red Dog, you can ramble all show.
you're here for it?
With a box of popcorn. This is great stuff.
One thing is I look at this team and I'm like, I don't know how they're going to keep up this pace, right? Because they're playing so hard and they're running so fast and they're going to get worn out. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. And then we have Kobe and Zach Collins coming back who can play like 60 minutes a game. Like between the two of them, right? Like I'm like, oh wow, and like this is set up. Like when they start getting worn out, it's like you're gonna have the reserves coming back from injury, like ready to like, yeah, okay, Trey Jones, Josh Giddey, you're getting a little tired. Well, Kobe Wright's here now to take 30 minutes off your plate. Zach Collins is here. Vooch starts getting worn out in the style of play because I think he's playing great moving, but I think that's gonna wear on him as the season goes on. But once Zach Collins comes here, you could play Vooch like 24 minutes a game at like a high tempo, high movement, and then Zach Collins can come in and play. Like, man, like they're even going to have guys coming back. They're not even at full strength. They're doing this missing two guys. Like, I would say it was like their best guy or second best guy, right? Kobe's one or two. And then Zach Collins, I would have thought was like maybe their fifth best guy coming in. Like, that's crazy. It's crazy. Like, it's like there's even upside. They even got, like, guys coming back who are really good who haven't even played yet. Like, it's like Billy Donovan's going to be like, I don't even know what to do with all these good players. Like, I don't even know how to balance this out. Like, it's like, and so
yeah. I didn't expect this, though. I didn't expect this, that they'd be 5-0 with the injury to White and Zach Collins. And I will also say, too, like, hey, they're going to lose games. Get ready for this. They're not going to go 82-0, even I don't believe that. And, you know, when they start playing the West, we played one team from the West. The West is a superior conference. There's no doubt about that. We played the Kings. They're not obviously in the top 10. And we're going to lose games when we start playing the West. But when I look at the East, I fear no team in this conference. I really think, you know, Cleveland's really good. Obviously, Bucks are playing better than expected. Giannis is playing out of this world. Knicks are a good team. I don't know how you could watch the game last night and say, you know, there's no chance we're beating the Knicks. How can you possibly say that? We just beat the crap out of that team, I thought, for the most part. The only time they got back in the game is when, you know, you start doing that BS in the third quarter where, you know, Brunson's running into guys and doing all his nonsense. You know, that might work occasionally, but, you know, and there is, it is true. We'll see how it happens in the playoffs. Yeah. There could be this style of play is not necessarily conducive to playoff victories, but it worked for the Pacers. Why wouldn't it work for the beloved Bulls?
Why not us?
Anything is
why
possible.
Can't we be
why
the
not us? Exactly.
Eastern Conference the champions? Why can't we be the Eastern Conference champions? We put in the work. We put in the time. Why can't we be the Eastern Conference champions, Fred?
The fan version of Derrick Rose speech. I love it. This is great. Awesome
can
stuff,
DP. Can I say one other thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
We haven't mentioned it. The Bulls are the only undefeated team in the East.
That's crazy.
Philly lost.
True.
We're the last team to leave, 5-0. And like, you know, pretty much everyone's played five games. There's a couple of teams who've played six who are both, if I'm looking at it quickly, there's a few 3-3 guys. So, you know, like 5-0, last undefeated team in the East. Only three undefeated teams in the league, us, the Spurs, and the Thunder. So, and we've played, played good teams. We've played good teams.
I expect them to lose tomorrow in New York because it's hard to win in New York.
I am not ever expecting a loss again. I'm never expecting a loss. Full meatball.
I'm sure
we will lose games. Absolutely. We're not going to win 82-0, but I'm not going into another game.
What are we
going
to do, Doc? You think Mark would believe then? You think Mark's going to come around?
I think at 82-0, Mark will believe. I think by 40-0, Mark will turn around. You know, like, I think all I'm going to say is, like, I'm not saying we're going to win all the games.
36-0, he's still doubting us.
But I'm going into every game saying, we're not out of this. Why not us? Like, yeah, I'd say more likely than not, the Knicks beat us. Like we wouldn't beat them two in a row and that game's on the road and whatever. But I'm not going in expecting a loss. I'm going in expecting a close game, a game that anything can happen in. Like they could win that game. Like I look at a game against the Bulls and a decent team like the Knicks, like good to decent. And I say 50-50. Like maybe the teams I think could really, I'd say like they're going to beat us. Like, yeah, if we go into OKC or San Antonio, I'll probably expect a loss. Maybe a couple of those other elite teams in the West.
Yeah, Denver.
But everyone else, I'm like, I'm not going into Philly and going like, there's no way we can beat Philly. I'll go into Philly being like, yeah, they're really good. We're good. We'll see what happens. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, pound sand, Philly.
Yeah, pound sand.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's the whole, I love this team already. We haven't even talked about Billy Donovan. We'll have to wait that for next time because I got to get going here. But because we've been over an hour already. But. It deserves an hour.
Don't cut us off an hour. We need 2 hours today, Fred. You got to change your plans. The fans need another hour.
Is the city going to, like, I was on Waddle and Sylvie. I basically got pilfered for talking about we're going to take the Central and never give it back. And, you know, all these people are on me about it. Like, what point are you going to stop, you know, complaining? You know, Sylvie had his Bulls caught. Like, come on. This team is worth your attention. At least, at a minimum. They win 46 games, whatever they're going to finish at, they're worth your attention because there's something good here and it's on the way up. And I'm glad that we're part of it, DT.
All right.
And so I'm dumping off my stuff here in Grant Park. I'm taking a bus back in. I've got all the building blocks there for a tent and stuff. So I'm just dropping them off and then we're going to head to bring this baby back in. And until next time, let's go Bulls. Last question, one more question. What do you think now, the schedule here? What's your prediction for what they're going to do? You're really going to go full meatball if you say they're going to go.
I mean, I think the next six games, I think if I recall correctly, I don't remember them all, but it's like, I know it's six good teams. You know, I kind of feel like they're going to go 3-3 and it's fine. Like if you told me like, we're going to start the season basically against, you know, 10 teams expected to make the playoffs in one other game against the Kings who are like not terrible, like kind of mediocre. I would, and we're going to like be like 8-3. I'd have been like, get the hell out of here. So I think that's fantastic. But I think they'll probably go 3-3. And I'm just going to say, you didn't want to talk about Billy Donovan. Long discussion. We both love Billy Donovan. We both said everyone was like sleeping on Billy Donovan, that he's a good coach and he didn't have the pieces and blah, blah, blah. And we were right. Billy Donovan is awesome. We'll talk more about that next time. But yeah, 3-3. How about you? DT.
I'll go with 3-3. I'm going to say 4-2.
Hell yeah.
I'll
go 4-2. Hell yeah, brother. Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's take the coin. No, I'll be done in a second. All right, DT, on that, let's bring the big red bus in. Until next time, let's go Bulls. And Doug, I just want to say before we pull this in, I love C-Red Doug. I love non-C-Red Doug, but C-Red Doug's even better than the regular Doug. And you know, the best part about this is that Mark K from Australia is going to be listening to the podcast, literally losing his mind screaming at both of us, which makes me even happier.
That's fine. We can back down later, but you got to enjoy it while you have. If you can't enjoy this, what could you ever enjoy? Why even be a fan? This is the best. Love it. Love every second of it. Go Bulls.
All right, DT. On that, go Bulls. Have a good one, my man. Talk to you soon, DT.
Bye.
All right, bud. Bye-bye.